Need peace, anybody? Always, 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 right? Peace and calm. We all need that. Consequently, we all need Jesus, don't we? We all need God. And the good news is, God responds. Jesus brings us peace. We're going to see that through the sermon this morning and two different stories, but all about peace. You'll find it in the middle of all of this. And hopefully, you'll find it in the middle of you, because peace always is within us, because we have the Spirit of God within us. We have to sometimes tap into that. And we often tap into that by the power of prayer, because scientists actually have proven that the part of the brain when we pray, lightened up, if you will, it shuts off the action part of your brain, and it brings in the self-reflective, peaceful part of your brain. So prayer is something that can give you peace. So in any given moment when you're not at peace, pray. Just a free bit of advice this morning that I hope you take to heart and use in your life. Let's go to chapter 4 of Mark this morning, beginning at verse 35. As evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although other boats followed behind them. But soon, a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. At peace. At peace. Who in the world sleeps through a storm? Who in the world has their head on a cushion, is doing sleepy time when water starts coming in the boat and starts rattling around and moving that boat? This boat wasn't very large. Only the 12 disciples were in it. So it wasn't a very big ship. It was a boat, probably what we would consider a rowboat. And I don't know about you, if the disciples suddenly are seeing that this water is happening, they start to get up and do what? Bail out the water, right? So now the boats are rocking, right? And Jesus is doing what? Sleeping. The sleeping Jesus. God's asleep in the middle of a storm. Now, how would that make you feel if God was asleep in the middle of your storm? Alone, afraid, frightened, terrorized, panicked? Wake up, Jesus! Don't you see I'm in trouble? Anybody ever said that to God? Oh, only me, apparently. Jesus was asleep on a cushion. The disciples woke him up shouting. Who wants to be woken up to shouting? Anybody? Anytime ever? Especially when you're having a nice little nappy nap. Shouting! Teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? Don't you care about us? Don't you see that we're going to drown? What do you think is happening in the disciples' mind right now? Panic, freak out, worst case scenario thinking, right? They first of all assume, because the storm comes up and Jesus is asleep at peace, right? Through any kind of circumstance. He is God after all, of course. But needless to say, these disciples who have watched Jesus prior to this feed 5,000 people, see people raised from the dead, see healings transpire from the beginning of their ministry with him. They've seen the man do all kinds of supernatural things. And suddenly, when he's asleep at the wheel of this storm, they panic. Peace goes where? Out the window. And they begin to shout, and they begin to freak out, don't they? Don't you even care? First thing they say. Doesn't God care about me when I'm going through hard times? You ever say that to anybody? Why did God let this happen? Why did God do this to me? Why doesn't God care about me? It's all about me after all. Oh, sorry, I'm talking about myself again. And secondly, we're going to drown. They're already predicting their demise, are they not? They're already telling God what's going to happen to them. Anybody here ever go to worst case scenario in your life, in your mind? No, never. I thank you. They have it all thought out, don't they? Peace goes out the window and panic comes right in. And panic leads to all kinds of irrational thinking. Do you think they're really going to drown? Logically speaking, is it any way, shape, or form with Jesus being in that boat that Jesus who is God would allow them to drown? Or is that the way he's trying to teach them a lesson? Be careful what you tell yourself is going to happen in your life. Because sometimes you can actually cause the panic to cause you to do some things that will cause a bad thing to happen, right? Anybody ever besides me been fishing on a boat with someone else who gets afraid and starts rocking the boat, and before you know it, you're both in the water? Panic only leads to problems, doesn't it? And our mind can go way off kilter, can't it? Especially when you know Jesus is asleep. When Jesus woke up, I'm assuming he woke up like right away, since they're shouting at him. But I also know Jesus a little bit more. He probably had one eye open, watching them freak out. I'll give him a few minutes, kind of have their little hot party of pity here and panic mode, then I'll teach him something about me. When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." Spoke to the wind, rebuked it, told it to be still, and said to the waves, "Silent, be still." The word in the Greek is philo. It means to muzzle something and to take from unruly to calm. I bet he wanted to also muzzle those disciples. And don't you want to muzzle people who want to tell you how bad things are sometimes, right? If you only had a muzzle with you. Here's what happens. Oh, here comes a good word we all love in the Bible. Suddenly, you got it. The wind stopped, and there was great calm. The waves were smooth. The disciples were what? Still freaking out, possibly, right? Were they any calmer? What were they so concerned about? The wind and the waves and drowning. That's no longer going to happen, is it? You think they're a little calmer now? You think they feel a little more foolish right now? Possibly, right? Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith in me?" No confidence. The word is actually confidence in the Greek, in me. Yes, I was. I'm going to add to the scriptures here, because if I was Jesus, this is what I'd be saying. You saw me perform all these other miracles beforehand. You saw what I can do. You had faith 5 minutes ago before the wind and the wave started. I was just trying to get some rest. But I've always got you in mind. I'm always going to take care of you. And yes, I can also control the wind and the waves, and I'm now trying to control you, how you react, your spirit. So silence, be still, be calm, be at peace. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this man? Even the wind and waves obey him. I guess they learned a great big lesson, right? They learned about the supernatural capability that God himself, through Jesus Christ, and that now even this Holy Spirit that we have within each and every one of us, that's at our disposal all the time, can control any circumstance, the wind, the wave, and even your spirit. Who is this man? God himself, right? Next chapter. So they arrived at the other side of the lake in the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him. Think about this. This is a man who's been shackled and chained, who obviously has very many problems. Correct? Mentally, emotionally, and otherwise, right? But when he sees Jesus, just think about this. If he was ensnared and entangled by all those chains and all those shackles and all those things inside of his mind that caused him to do what he did, when he sees Jesus, do you notice how he does everything in his possible physical capability to run to meet Jesus? He recognizes who Jesus is before the disciples who said, "Who is this man?" This man who sees Jesus step out of the boat recognizes him as the Son of God. Why? Because he had a need for him. We talked about a storm earlier. Think about the storm that was inside this man's head. Think about how fierce the things inside of him controlled him and distressed him and distorted him, right? And caused him so much suffering and sorrow and pain and isolation. But when he sees Jesus, he realizes, this is the man I need to heal me, to bring me peace, peace of mind, peace of heart. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit inside of the man, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." See, what this man was being plagued by was Satan. Satan had his hold of his mind, had a hold of his life, and had a grip on him that this man could not get rid of. And so who is it going to take? Someone stronger than the evil one, right? Anything and everything in our life that's a stronghold of any kind, holding us back, holding us down, causing us to think in errant ways. We need a stronger man, Jesus Christ, to come into our mind and our heart and break us free from those thought processes, right? And set us free from the strongholds in our life, whatever they may be. Because it's Satan that often, very often, tries to create chaos inside of our minds. If any of you have been on the chaos ride with Satan and his thoughts that he puts inside of your head, causing you to think less than, or that you can't ever get out of the situation you're in, or that you're useless, or all those other kind of tormenting negative thoughts that all of us sometimes face, whether it's doubt, it's loneliness, it's isolation, it's disappointment, it could be fear, it could be paranoia, for unforgiveness, shame, guilt, negative thinking overall, and our perceptions, and even physical ailments that we have that hold us down and hold us back. Satan wants to use those to hold you down and keep you in the burial cave, to keep you away from the rest of your family and loved ones, and particularly to keep you away from God. This is Satan's whole mode of operation, to get inside your mind and cause you to think otherwise than what the truth actually is. You're not going to drown. And you're not going to go through the awful things that you sometimes think about in the middle of the night. And you're not going to have chaos anymore, because God brings order to chaos every single time. And all the time we drama, all that's doing is feeding into the lies of Satan, trying to get in your head and destroy your life like he did to this man. Satan wants to rob, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to heal and save, and to call his people into salvation, and to bring them into new abundant life, a life full of peace and joy and wholeness, happiness, contentment. Come out of the man, you evil spirit. Unclean, it means also. Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion," because there are many of us inside this man. I don't know about you, but for each and every one of us that have so many tormenting memories, so many traumas, so much hurt, so much abuse that's happened to us in all of our lives, and seeing the abuse around the world, and we keep it in our head, all of a sudden you got a legion of thoughts in your head that can just depress you and push you down, can't they? A legion was 5,000 Roman soldiers, 5,000. Imagine having 5,000 ugly, evil spirit thoughts in your head at one time. Slightly more than some of us. Slightly less for some of us. There are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits beg Jesus. See what happens when Jesus confronts evil, when Jesus steps into the situation, when Jesus steps into the storm, when Jesus steps into chaos, when Jesus steps into a place where evil is trying to destroy, he steps in and then evil shrinks and gets like a little teeny tiny little mouse and tries to run away. Because that is what Satan is. God is more stronger than any evil force there could ever be on the earth or in heaven, or in fact, it isn't even in heaven. They begged him again and again not to send them to some abyss, some distant place, because somebody stronger than them had arrived. Listen, you have to understand. I want you to stand up for a second, just a second. I want you to feel inside, wherever your inside is. Could be your heart, could be your mind, could be all of you. Someone stronger than evil and any enemy, any problem, any circumstance, any disease, anything is inside of you. Ow. Inside of me too. Remember that. Someone, the Holy Spirit, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has taken up residence inside of you. And guess who's scared witless of you and me? Satan is. And he ought to be. When you get afraid, when your circumstances seem out of control, when you can't control what life is happening to you, when your mind starts going off on the negative train and Satan's trying to bring up your past or whatever it might be, or your future, how awful it's going to be, you're going to drown, you're going to drown, you're going to drown. You say, oh, Jesus. You call on Jesus. And guess what happens? The wind and the waves have to stop. The thoughts have to stop. Even the wind and the waves and that little chicken Satan. I did good. Satan has to come under Jesus Christ's authority, right? Are you going to remember that? Today? Tomorrow? Forever? Inside? Have a seat. Thank you. I'll go on with the story. There was a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. See, the thing about, we know this about spirits at this time particularly, and it's still true today, it has to inhabit someone or something, some living thing. So there's some pigs feeding nearby. Send us into those pigs, the spirits begged. Let us enter them. They're trying to destroy the pigs now, right? Okay, so Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd of the 2,000 pigs had 5,000 demons inside of them. Obviously, they squished in really small. And they plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Guess what happened to the evil spirits? Blah, 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 blah. Jesus even gave them permission to have their own demise. You want to go into the pigs? Fine. I'm going to drown the pigs and you too. That's what happens to Satan, into the abyss, into hell itself. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town of the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. People rushed out to see what had happened. Wow! A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been. Say, had been. We've all had been something, right? Not since a few minutes ago. Who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly of sound mind, at peace. And the people were afraid. What in the world? What's with not having a party? Oh, gosh. Anyway. Then those who had seen what had happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Guess who's got possession of some of these people? The evil spirits are still there, right? Wouldn't you think that the people would have said, thank you, Jesus, for saving him and help us too? Wouldn't you think they would think one person is more important than 2,000 pigs? I would think so. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had the demon, been demon possessed rather, begged to go with him. But Jesus said, no, go home to your family. He's going to restore this man's life to him. Back to his family. He had been living amongst the caves. He had been alone. He'd been isolated. Had no one but himself and these demons that had inside of him, causing him so much torment. But now Jesus says, go home and be with your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. So this man in a split second went from demon-possessed, he went from someone who was cast out to an evangelist. There's hope for you and for me. In a split second, meeting Jesus, no matter where he was, where we are, where you are in this life journey, if you've got stuff going on inside of your head, if there's a storm raging in there all the time, the one inside of you is stronger than what's going on outside of you and in especially your mind. Stop and pray. Call on Jesus. Run to meet him. Some of you, when you come here to church, you ought to be running in this sanctuary to meet Jesus, to be in his presence so he can help clear the mind. Because don't think the demons aren't going to try again to try to get a hold of all of us, right? That's Satan's job. He's still around, looming around the earth, looking for whom he can devour, right? Still searching, still seeking, especially the godly. But when you call on Jesus, and when you stop believing the lies that Jesus is asleep in your life, he just needs a nap. The man was busy. And here's the thing. He would never, ever let his disciples drown, right? He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. He will never, ever let Satan get a full grip on you. He's going to continue to seek you out and go help you, move with you, be with you. So the question always becomes this. What is the enemy using in your life sometimes? Is it your thought life? What is he using to try to get you away from God, to believe the lies, to think that, oh, everything is going to go wrong, because it always has in your life. There might be a pattern, broken relationships, nobody loves you. Whatever the stories you tell yourself, they are not true. They're just stories. I told you two stories this morning. Do they not show you different evidence of who our God is? Do they not show you that no matter what you're going through, Jesus will be awake and will stop the storm. He will bring you peace. All you have, if you need to shout at him, perfectly fine. If that's your thing, shout at him to come and help you. Shout at him when he heals you and praise him for it. Don't waste your breath shouting at Satan, except to say, get out of here. Someone's stronger inside of me than you, you little whatever you are. In a split second, Jesus stopped the storm. In a split second, he brought a man back to peace. In a split second, when you need God, there he is. Don't give Satan even an inch to start your negative thoughts going. As soon as they begin, as soon as you read something that scares you, whether it's on the internet, on Facebook, or something somebody tries to say to you, that's negative. And you know what something's negative, right? I hope, right? Okay, thank you. If it doesn't lift you up and it starts to bring you down, that's the moment that you call on Jesus. That's the moment you remind yourself, I've got the strong man inside of me who can overcome anything, even death. So God himself, Jesus Christ, within us all, creates calm and peace. Do you need calm? Do you need peace? Where do you find it? In Jesus, in God alone. Use your prayer time in the midst of anything, anywhere, all the time. You can pray with your eyes closed. You can pray with your eyes open. You can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're singing. You can pray while you're walking. You can pray while you're talking. You can pray while you're in a conversation with somebody else, and you're praying inside your own head because they don't know what's going on up there. And pray against your own thought life sometimes. Remember where it's coming from. Only good things come from above. Everything else comes from below. And why it's below? It's because Satan is below our feet. Stand tall. Strong man's inside of you. That should give you peace. Amen? Amen. Amen.